Okay. Good. So let's pick up where we were in the Gemara yesterday. Fine. So we did the first Amud and a bit, where the Gemara lays out its two main possibilities. Again, to recap, the two main interpretive possibilities of the Gemara, just in Pshat, are that when the Mishnah tells us about neighbors who decide to divide their field with a mechitza, the Gemara offers two interpretations. Either if they choose to build a wall, then they have to build a wall. But if they don't choose to build a wall, they don't have to build a wall, from which the Gemara assumes, or the Gemara deduces, that the only thing that could drive them to be obligated to build a wall is agreement, which means that there is no principle, there's no external principle to themselves that makes them build the wall. In Gemara language, that means hezekri alav shmei hezek. Or if the only reason to build a wall is because you agree to, and there's nothing else motivating it, that means that the potential visual damage, invasion of privacy that we call hezekriya, is not halachically significant. Possibility one. Possibility two is that the way we read the Mishnah is no. Harotil chatzot. If you choose to divide the property, implied, you can always choose not to divide the property and live as one big happy family, as we talked about with the Spicer cousins yesterday. But if you choose not to do that, and you choose to divide, then you must divide. Or at least one of you can force the other to divide by a wall, which means that once you choose to live separate lives, implied in that agreement is a wall, which prevents invasion of privacy. Therefore, in the language of the Gemara, hezekriya shmei hezek, that this is a recognized category. Right? That's the framing of the Gemara. And we left off yesterday with, okay, what is this thing called hezekriya? Why would you say it is damage? Why would you say it isn't damage? Recognizing the fact that we're going to have to talk in gradations here, because it's not the case that it's always or never hezekriya, because the Mishnah already tells you that there's at least one case in which you're not worried about it, namely the open field, where whatever it is that hezekriya is, we're not worried about it in a field, which means that it's clearly not an overarching principle. Either there is no hezekriya there, or it's not nechshav, or whatever, but there are limitations. And on the other extreme, there's clearly going to be cases in which it is inappropriate, right, to stare and the like, and maybe it would be considered hezekriya or something else. We also left open the question of, well, even if you say hezekriya, lav shmei hezek, does that mean I'm allowed to stare at you, or simply that it's not actionable in court? It's not tort law. That doesn't mean it's permitted, right? There may be multiple factors in this equation. Okay? The last thing we noted is that this whole thing gets complicated because the exact details of how you build the wall isn't just a question of hezekriya, it's also related to zoning laws and property laws and things like that, which complicate the whole picture because there's really two things going on at once in the Mishnah. That's where we left off. Okay, as we continue through the Gemara, let's see if we can start pinning. How far did people get, by the way? Right, because there are three Gemaras in Bava Basra. So there's this whole blot, and then there's second parak and third parak. No, I give you two passages in the third parak, rather. The end of the third parak, Nun Tet and Samach. How far do you guys get?
We got through the first one and started the...
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Okay, so let's pick up then at the two dots in the middle of Beis Amud Beis, or Bet Amud Bet, or Beth, Amud, Beth, whatever you want. I don't really care. Take it away. Who wants to take the second half of the Gemara here? And again, I want you to keep in mind all the questions that we raised, and what is that? It's very loud. I don't know. Okay. We'll have to yell over it. It's fine. I don't know if you hear it as much as I do, because I'm outside. Okay. It's loud. Okay. Okay, so let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bonin et hakotel be'emtza." So let me read the first few lines. But the Gemara says, "You build the wall in the middle." Pshita, isn't that obvious that you build the wall? So the Gemara says, "Lo, tsricha de kodim chad v'ratzi lechevre." Mao detim matzi amar le ki itrasi lach ve'avira b'tashmish dolo itrasi lach kamash malon. So this relates not to the hezgra'ia component of the sugya, but to the neighborly agreement part of the sugya. And the Gemara says, well, where else do you think you would build it? The Mishnah says you build the wall in the middle. Where else would you think you build it? So the Gemara says, you might have thought that he's allowed to say, look, I just wanted division, and therefore I wanted the thinnest of walls that you could possibly come up with, like this thing or something, right? This plastic, whatever it is. And not a real wall. And the answer is, no, that's not how this works. Once you agree to a wall, which is going to take space, and therefore you're agreeing to put the wall of whatever thickness in the middle of your property, and you're going to lose some space, and he's going to lose some space, and that's just what it is. Rashi assumes that this is about Hezgria, though you didn't necessarily have to say that. You could have just said this was just, but for the moment, we'll leave that, okay? Because Rashi, if you look at Rashi says, if you look at Mao Ditema, B'mechitza mechitza daka nitratzeti, I was okay with a thin wall, U'me'ute ba'avira, k'gon shal nizam shi daka, ve'hezegriya einba, right? He's assuming that I wanted a thin wall, but one that would prevent hezegriya, right? I mean, he assumes that hezegriya is in the background here. But okay, well, let's leave that on the side for the moment, and continue here in the Gemara. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Hezegriya lav shmei Hezek. Right? How can you possibly say that this thing called Hezegriya, this visual damage, is not actionable? Right? Is not court recognized? Now, what is the Gemara's proof? Where does the Gemara attempt to invoke proof from? Tashma, so Gemara says, V'chein Begina. Right? So what is the Gemara saying? Yeah. Very good. Right, the Gemara said it is a given, and the full sugya appears in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Zayin, which, for the moment, we'll focus on what's here. I do have it for you, but whatever. You know. You should know. I know this looks intimidating, but this is like 1/1000th of what I, you know. It's a very long sugya, Hezegriya. This is just like basics. So the Gemara says, "V'chein begina gina shiny." The Gemara answers, "A garden is different." Kidi Rabbi Abba, as Rabbi Abba said, "Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Asur la'adam la'amod b'stei chaver b'shah shi'omede b'komotea." It is forbidden for you to stand in your friend's field while he is right, while he's standing there, and you know, etc. Okay, good. Let's focus on this line. The Gemara says, how can you say Hezegriya isn't Hezek? It's clearly Hezek in the context of Gina. Right? By a garden, it's forbidden for you to stand there. And the Gemara answers, a garden is different. Very good. Okay. Someone parse that statement for me. What does it teach us about Hezegriya? What's the Havamina? What's the Maskana? The Havamina, I think we should all agree. What's the Havamina? That you are allowed to, right, Hezegriya, the invasion of privacy that happens if someone is invading your privacy in your garden, That is clearly Hezekriya. Right? And from there, you can derive that halacha recognizes Hezek Ri'iyah. Yes? That's the Havamina? I think we can all agree. That's clearly the Havamina. Then the Gemara says, no, Gina Shiny, a garden is different. Okay, stop right there. Why is a garden different? What is the Gemara's answer? I should rephrase it. When the Gemara says a garden is different, what does that tell us about Hezek Ri'iyah?
It does not necessarily apply to a garden.
Elaborate. Say it again. Yeah, you gotta. Sorry, Rami. You're like at the worst angle, so you gotta yell.
Okay. So doesn't this necessarily concede the fact that Hezekiah does in fact exist?
So Rami takes one possibility and says the concession in the Maskana is yes, Hezekiah exists. Everyone agrees Hezekiah exists. That's not the question. The question, right? We overstated the question. Right, we overstated the question. There never was a question whether Hezekiah exists. It, of course it exists. The only question is, how much? Where does it apply? What are its boundaries? And when the Gemara said, Hezekiah Shmei Hezekiah Lav Shmei Hezekiah, what did it mean? Hezekiah Bichatzer, that's all it meant. That's one possible way of reading the Gemara. What's another possible way of reading the Gemara? And therefore,
the fact that you are can be forced to belong in the case of the garden does not there. And the reason it gives for why you can belong is not there.
Very good. The other possibility is what Ezra says, which is no. There are different type of visual damages, right? And the Gemara originally thought that the visual damage that happens in the Gina is under this category called Hezek Ri'iyah. Kamash Malan, no. What's happening in Egina, not only is it quantitatively different from the Hezek Ri'iyah that happens potentially in a Chatzer, it's qualitatively different. It's a different type of visual damage, which we don't call Hezek Ri'iyah. It's something else. Now, you might think I'm just, right, splitting hairs here, but there's an important difference between those two formulations. We haven't even put in content yet. This is just structure, right? We haven't filled in the content here. But structurally, why is it important to distinguish between saying it the way Rami says, which is, yes, we always agree there's Hezek Ri'iyah. The only question is how much Hezek Ri'iyah? Is it even a Chatzer or not? Or the way Ezra said it, which is no. Maybe there are categories of visual damage that are universally agreed upon, one of which manifests itself in a Gina, but the category that's included under the title Hezek Ri'iyah doesn't exist at all. What difference does it make? Right? Who cares whether I call it Hezek Ri'iyah or not? Right? Everyone agrees, right? Rami and Ezra both agree that the Maskana of the Gemara is that there are certain actionable visual damage that Halacha recognizes. So why do I care whether I call it Hezek Ri'iyah or not? I do care, but why do I care? Push that farther, come on. You're on the right track. Come on, I'll give you one more chance and then I'll throw it to somebody else. Yeah? Say it again? Okay, let's get a sharper formulation. Okay, well, you're on the right track. Let's try to get a sharper formulation. Yeah, you want it done? Meaning, can force in court, like not just this is a wrong thing to do, but right, because what we're talking about here isn't just moral law. We're talking about law that can be enforced in court. That's what I mean by actionable. That's all I mean. Right? There will be other moral laws that will come up, but so far we're talking about enforceable. Enforceable better?
Yeah.
right? Actionable, same thing. Enforceable, okay? Yeah, Ezra.
Like, the only purpose of the burden itself was how it relates to the case of the Hatzair. So it doesn't really matter what the answer...
No, it does matter. I asked you why it matters. You're telling me it doesn't matter. No, it does matter, so tell me why it does matter.
It doesn't matter what the... It doesn't really matter what the answer is for the case of the Gidon. All that matters is the principles that you get from
it. So what does it matter? Come on, tell me. Why does it matter? Why does it matter whether we call whatever that is in the Gina Hezek Re'ia or not? Why do I care? Everyone agrees that Hezek Re'ia, everyone agrees that there is some sort of enforceable principle of visual damage in the context of Gina. Everyone agrees to that. The Machloket is about Chatzer. Why do I care whether the Maskana of the Gemara is Chatzer has visual damage that we call Hezek Re'ia or not? Why does that matter? Yeah, Adam. Come on, somebody.
Would that be like an expansionary definition? Would you say that, like, if you were to say that acts like Hezek Re'ia, in addition to other things, or do you say that's like the only definition of
Hezek Re'ia? Someone answer my question. You're all on the right track by asking your question, but now answer my question. Why do I care? Why am I forcing you to define this? Why does it matter? What? Whether when the Gemara says Gina Shiny, it means everyone agrees that Hezek Re'ia exists in the Gina. The question is whether it applies to Chatzer, or everyone agrees there is some visual damage that is halachically recognized in the context of Gina, but that's not Hezek Re'ia. Why does it matter whether I call the damage that happens in the Gina that everyone agrees exists Hezek Re'ia or not? Why does that matter? Meaning, because, right, again, the Gemara says, prove that Hezek Re'ia is a thing because it exists in a Gina. And the Gemara's answer is Gina Shiny, right, that the garden is different. But there's two ways of reading that. One is, Hezek Re'ia clearly exists in the garden, but that doesn't tell us that it exists in a Chatzer. But therefore, the Maskana of the Gemara is that everyone agrees Hezek Re'ia exists. The only Machloket is parameters of it. The second way of reading it is, no. There are different types of visual damage in Halacha. One is called Hezek Re'ia, which we don't know whether it exists at all. And then there's whatever is happening in the Gina, which is not Hezek Re'ia, it's some other visual damage, which admittedly we all agree to. Why do I care which formulation I take? Right? Isn't it just semantics? Yaakov.
If it's not Hezek Re'ia, the Gina, Hezek Re'ia exists in itself, then it's only going by your stuff and not you personally.
Okay, so let me put it a little bit broader. You're on the right track, but let me just broaden it and then we'll fill in content. Right? The fundamental reason I care is as follows. If the Maskana is Hezek Re'ia exists, everyone agrees that Hezek Re'ia exists, the question are parameters, then if we decide, if we paskin the Hezek Re'ia Shmei Hezek, then whatever is true in the Gina can teach us something about Hezek Re'ia and the Chatzer. Right? Because, right, meaning if you say that what happens in the Gina is Hezek Re'ia, and the question is Hezek Re'ia expansive enough to apply to the Chatzer, once we decide that it is, then we can share principles, because, right, what we're saying is the principle is the same. The only question is how expansive it is. But once you decide that it's expansive enough to include Chatzer, then the principles from Gina will teach us something about the principles in Chatzer. But if what Gina Shiny means is, no, there is a different category of visual damage that happens in a Gina that's not about Hezek Re'ia, then that means that can we derive anything about Hezek Re'ia in a Chatzer from whatever is happening in a Gina? No, because what you're saying is they're two different principles. It's not the question of expansiveness of principles. It's the question of whether these are distinct principles to begin with. And this might be very important for reasons that have floated around, which is if one of them is based on Ayin Hara, whatever that means, right? Does that mean that once we say whatever is forbidden in the Ginah is because of a Ayin Hara, then the same thing is true in a Chatzer? So if you think that Ginah is just the Hezekriah that everyone agrees to, and the Chatzer is the one where we disagree, then once we decide that it exists in a Chatzer, what are we essentially saying? That the implications of Ayin Hara apply in a Chatzer also. But if you think that, no, Ginah is a problem of Ayin Hara, and a Chatzer is a problem of Hezekriah, so then we will have to judge the halachot of the Ayin Hara eskalachot and the Ginah fundamentally different than we do the ones in the Chatzer, which, as Yaakov points out, might affect. Are we talking about property? Are we talking about your person? Right? These might, if they're completely different categories and don't shed light on each other, right? So then we have to talk in completely different terms. But the reason it matters, right? The reason it matters whether the Gemara is presenting a qualitative or quantitative argument, meaning, right, there's always, let me just finish my sentence, right? Meaning, is the Gemara, when the Gemara says Gina Shiny, is it presenting a qualitative argument? Meaning, this is not Hezekriah, it is something else of a different nature, of a different quality, which happens to also relate to the eyes. So you might have mistaken it for Hezekriah, but that's something else, and that's why everyone agrees that it exists. But that tells us nothing about Hezekriah. Then we have to judge these two sugyot independently. We have to talk about the Lachar of Ginah, figure that out, close the sugya, figure out Hezekriah and a Chatzer, figure it out, close the sugya. If you think the Gemara is making a quantitative point, meaning, no, everybody agrees there's Hezekriah. The only question is how much and where and who and whatever. So then, there's a set of principles about Hezekriah. They apply in all cases where Hezekriah applies. Then you just got to figure out, how expansive is it? But if it turns out it's expansive enough to include a Chatzer, then whatever is true of one is true of the other. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ezra. Good, so let's read the Gemara. With this background, we only did like two lines, but let's see how this plays out. So what does the Gemara say? Right? What is this case of the Ginah? So let's read it one more time. Right? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Asur L'Adam L'Amod, B'Sadecha V'Ero B'Shah Sh'Omede B'Komoteha. You're not allowed to stand in the field. So now, look at Rashi for a moment, right? Read Rashi. Rashi says, well, you can't stand in the garden and stare into other people's, right, their produce, their property. Okay, what does Rashi say? Rashi has four words. What does he say? Come on. Right, so you won't damage the person by ayin ra'a. You won't damage the person with ayin right, Ra, whatever Ayin Hara is, okay, you won't damage the person with Ayin Hara. So now tell me, remember we talked about what is the nature of Hezekriah, right? Is Hezekriah actually damage, pshuto kemashma'o, or is it something else, right? That really it's a stand-in for saying there's a problem to create a situation in which people won't use their maximized usage in their field, right, in their property. The case of the Ginah, according to Rashi, is that damage? Straight up damage? Yes or no? How does Rashi understand the case of the Ginah? Is it damage?
Yes,
100%. Shelo yazikenu ba'ayin ra. I don't know what it means, right? And again, the Rishonim who think that Ayin Hara literally means like rays coming out of your eyes or whatever it means, right? Whether you think it's rays coming out of your eyes, or you think that Ayin Hara means that by looking at someone else's stuff, you create jealousy, and that will lead to naturalistic consequences, or you think that by focusing on the good that someone has, it causes in Shamayim God to judge them more carefully, and therefore that could lead to spiritual consequences. These are all shitot, right? These are all shitot. Whatever you think it is, Rashi thinks that The gina is damage. In some way, shape, or form, by staring at their property, you're either shooting rays out of your eyes or causing actual damage. Okay? I think that's pretty clear in Rashi. But now, as I said, there's still an open question as to, okay, but is hezekria the same thing? Right? If you think that these two are now equivalent, meaning gina is an extreme hezekria, and chatzer is possible less extreme hezekria, still, in the end of the day, they're both about ayin hara, they're both about actual damage. Right? The only question is the parameters, extent. But, if you don't think that's the case, so then, right, obviously we'll have to redefine hezekria. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
If you don't think that, if you say that it's not that the case of Ankara is not hezekria, can you still accept the definition of that, looking at something natural as a comparison?
Yes, but you don't have to anymore. You still can. Correct. You could, right, meaning you could say both these principles are derived in Ayin Hara. You could say they're both visual damage, they're actual damage, but of a different sort. Or you could say one is damage and one is something else. Right? Those are all open possibilities. Right? Again, I don't know how many times I have to say it, but right now, the reason I'm just letting you read the Gemara and I'm holding these by me is because I want you to see how all the possibilities that the Rishonim will actually stake out all emerge from the inherent ambiguities from a careful reading of the text. Right? You could. You're right. Could. You could say a lot of things. But that's my point. If you read the Gemara carefully, you'll see what you can say. The range of things you can say. Which ones will be said is a different story. But this doesn't excuse your responsibility when you're reading the Gemara is to first figure out what it could mean. Right? And, as you've already seen, right, at this point, the different sheet and Rishonim and Achronim, parts of them have been staked out by Rami, by Yaakov, by Ezra, right? We'll see how many of you get to put a Rishon or Achron to your name by the end of it, right? I would hope all of you, right? Or whatever, but at least get it out there. Okay, fine. Good. Let's continue in the Gemara. So now, the Gemara says, Tashma. Let's try another proof. Kotel, Chatzer, Shenafal Mechayven Oto Livnot Ad Arba Amaot. If you have a wall that falls down in a Chatzer, then you have to build it up to 4 Amaot. So the Gemara says, doesn't that prove the fact that we force you to rebuild it, that Hezekriya Shmei Hezek? What's the Gemara's obvious answer? No, Nafal Shiny. Which is, no. Once you already have a wall, so it makes sense to say that that is the reality of your living arrangements. So it falls down, you have to rebuild it, because that's the agreement you live in, right? That's the situation you're in. That doesn't prove that you had to build the wall, it's just that once I agreed to build the wall, and it's just about agreement, right? If you look at Rashi, he says, no, nafal sheni shekvar nitrato, yishon bekotel. Right? Once there's a wall and it falls down, the reason you have to rebuild it has to do with agreement. Agreement is, right, not interesting. Right? The fact that you agreed to something, and that is mechayev you, that is like ABCs of Dinei Mamonot, that proves nothing except for the fact that you have to do what you said you were going to do. Right? That's about all it proves. Okay? Good. Then the Gemara says, Udekari la my kari la. The Gemara says, well, that was so obvious, so why are you even talking about it, right? Udekari la my kari la, right? English translation is basically, then why are you even talking about it, right? Meaning, the karila, my karila. Why are you, if it's that obvious, why are we talking about that case? So the Gemara says, the chiddush is that even if you used to have a 10-amma wall, once it falls down, we don't assume that you originally had agreed to dafka 10-amma wall. Right? We assume that the agreement is to a basic wall. If you happen to go beyond that, that's fine. But once it falls down, I can't force you to the, right, unless you can prove that we had that agreement or on paper that we would always make it to 10 amot, the normal assumption of a wall is 4 amot. Okay? Yeah. In this case, I assume it's pragmatic. right? Let's take the, right, an amma is between 1.5 and 2 feet, right? So let's say the minimum that 4 amma is something like 6 feet, maximum 8 feet. You can see realistically why that's going to be the wall that maintains privacy, right? Meaning, right, how much do you think a normal wall is, right? You don't need a wall up to the ceiling for privacy. You need one, which is 6 to 8 feet, right? I assume. Yeah, I don't think there's anything like too mechudash about it. I mean, 6 to 8 feet, like, if you're my height, 6 feet is more than enough. I can't see you, right? More than enough with ample, right, revach from my head to the top of that, right? That's not true of everybody, right? For some people, more like for 8 feet. But 8 feet, b'chol, you know. Yes, at my towering 5'1", you know, like, you know, six feet's enough to block me. So the Gemara says, okay, Tashma, Kovenato livnot beit shar v'del l'chatzer. The next attempted proof is that we force them to build, what's a beit shar? A gatehouse. Very good. And a door on the chatzer. Shma mina ezek ria shmei ezek. So doesn't that show that ezek ria is Hezek, because we make you build something that's going to block you from Rishut HaRabim? So Gemara answers, no, Hezek HaRabim Shaini. The damage caused by the public being able to see into your property is different. Now again, yes, but you have to ask the exact same question that we asked by Gina, which is, what? It's different, but how is it different? Is it a qualitatively different type of damage, or a quantitatively different type of damage? Right? The exact same question. Whoa. Qualitative, quantitative, but not necessarily identical to Gina. Meaning we've now introduced yet another possible category. Right, this might not be about Ayin Hara, this might be about something else. Right, but you have to ask the exact same structural question. Yeah, Yaakov. By the Rabbim. Right, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shekol b'nei reishud ha-rabim mistaklin sham. That the whole public is staring at you. Right? That's bad. Everyone agrees it's bad.
But this case is different because it's not necessarily at you, it's necessarily at everyone living
here. No. The Beit Shar is from the public.
I know, but the Beit Shar
is from the public. Not the Beit Shar. The Beit Shar is from the Chatzer to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one is completely different.
Our case, Chatzer, yeah.
Yeah,
correct. No, other end. The public to you.
Yeah, but it's not the individual. You as an individual, not the case.
Correct. Right, correct. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Udiyachid, yeah.
Why is there a difference between like the whole problem and just like being able
to So again, we have to ask, if it's quantitative, right, then the answer might be, look, invasion of privacy, I don't know if it applies but one person looking at me, but if the whole world looks at me, that's clearly, right? It just is, right? It just is, right?
I don't think
really? Yeah. Are there things, well, I don't know how your house is set up, okay? But are there things you would do in your bedroom, right, or your whatever, your kitchen, assuming they're not facing the public. Are they facing the main street? I don't know. Okay, fine. Are there things you would do in your bedroom and not really bother to close the window? Like, they're not, you know, it's not like super private, but like, it's private, and you know, you don't really want people staring in, but like, it's not private enough that like, you make sure to close the window shades, because if someone happens to see you, big deal, but you wouldn't do at your big bay window in your living room that faces the street. Are there things like that? Could you imagine such a situation? I don't know. I mean, look, it could be chance, it could be the type of person, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's certain things, like, you know. And it's not even about chance. Look, I agree with Yaakov, right? Like, I will go out in shorts and an undershirt, even outside my house, to, like, throw out the garbage, right? I wouldn't just walk around with it. Even though, like, are people going to see me? Yeah, people will see me. But, like, I'm going to the garbage. I'm on my, like, the cul-de-sac that I live on, right? Whatever. Like, people take out the garbage, you know, whatever, right? Like, it's not just how many people are going to see you. There's, like, it's a different feel, right? It's a different, right? There's a way you present to the public, and there's a way you present to semi-public and private, right? There is. Maybe not for everybody, but...
That's a difference. That's not actually a difference of, like, actual privacy. You're just going to be on the phone. It's a difference of, like, the expected... Yeah, the formality of that area.
Okay. But who, so we have to talk about, again, we have to talk about exactly what's the issue here, but you're right. But again, all Rashi says is that everybody is looking at you, right? Is the problem, and therefore you will do less? Is it that it's considered public, and in public you just don't do things that you would do in private, even if there are other people around, right? Like, right, like I will, right? What?
My question is it a problem with quantity or the type of people?
So,
like, do you not want that many people, or do you not want...
No, I don't. It sounds like you could go either way, but I don't think it's just the quantity. I don't think it's just the quantity. I think it's Rishus Harabim, right? You don't, right? You don't want the whole world looking in. It's not that, right? It's not that I'm, you know, it's not something inherently private, right? Right? Inherently private. You don't want anyone to see you, right? You don't want, right? Normal people will make sure that the window isn't wide open when they're taking a shower, right? But, like, people won't necessarily, right, even if they won't walk in public with, right, in their undershirt, right, that doesn't mean that you're going to, like, make sure that all the shades are closed when you happen to be, like, you know, I don't know, doing the dishes, right, so you only have your undershirt on because you don't want your shirt to get dirty. Even if you're near a window that someone might see you, you don't care. If someone happens to see you in your undershirt, like, big deal, right? But when you're in public, right, you dress differently. Again, is this the best example? No, there are plenty of people who go in public with their undershirt. That's not my point, right? My point is, like, right, it's the type of, again, look, it's the same thing, you know, there are people who don't like eating, right, or, right, eating in certain ways in public, right? Like, they might leave their window open in their kitchen, even their kitchen is facing the front, because, like, okay, big deal. Someone sees you eating. That doesn't mean they want to sit in a park bench and eat, like, you know, a sloppy Joe. Because, like, ugh, it's just pasnished, right? You don't do that, right? In a harami. So what? The point is that people relate to the public different than private, even cases where people see you. The point is that, yeah, you relate to the whole Rabbim seeing you differently. Yeah, Adam. Yeah, for sure it has to do with the action. Again, the point is that there... But whatever it is, the Gemara's point is that the lengths you'll go to shield yourself from the public are different than what you will in private. Because subjective reasons, because propriety, we can fill in all types of things. Correct. But that's not the point, right? The point here isn't... sure... But, like, that doesn't prove anything, right? Meaning, there are things that I think everybody in our group, I would hope, would agree are private, right? You wouldn't necessarily get someone who belongs to a nudist colony to agree with our assessment. That doesn't mean it's not the type of thing that should be done in private. It just means that there are people who don't care about privacy. That doesn't change normal standards, right? Meaning the existence, right? The existence of nude beaches does not change the fact that there is expected propriety in most normal public places, right? You know, it doesn't mean that you wouldn't consider it an invasion. And to be fair, right, even I would assume, though I don't know, right, even people who would go to a nude beach might still feel like their privacy has been invaded if, right, they knew that people were spying on them in their house, right? Meaning context changes things, right? What? Yeah, right? I mean, the point is, the Rabbim staring at you is still different, right? It's still different. Okay. Yes, and people view their neighbor, for sure, right? 100%. Look, I mean, listen, I mean, it could also be what Yaakov's saying. It could be about neighbors versus not neighbors, right? It's true. Look, realistically, when I come into yeshiva, I wear a button-down shirt, right? I'm not, like, ashamed of the fact that I own polo shirts. I just don't wear them when I'm in my official capacity here, right? Like, right? But I'll wear it, big, you know, in Dagan, right? And when I'm Toronto, right, people will call me out if I'm not wearing a tie, right? Like, okay, things are context, you know? It's one of the great things of being a rabbi in Israel, right? Like, right? In Toronto, literally, I'd be on vacation. If I wasn't wearing a tie, people would actually come over. Oh, you're on vacation today? It's like, yes, I don't want to have a noose around my neck, right? So yes, I'm on vacation, right? Again, yeah, it's about neighbors, public. There's all types of factors, and yes, I know, and I hope you're getting the point that I hope you're getting the point that I made already yesterday. I made several people in Chavrusa. Is that Bava Basra is different than Shabbos, right? Shabbos. If you started saying, oh, well, that's not Zoreya, because people don't view planting that little as planting, I'd say that's not how things work, right? Because halacha has its definitions. In Bava Basra, that's not true. Bava Basra has very little psukim going on. A lot of it really is, you know, this is monetary law. In monetary law, a lot of these subjective factors, yeah, whatever you agree to, because you agree to, is binding. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Tashma, let's try again. Ein cholken in a chatzer sheba dalet amot lezeh v'dalet amot lezeh. If you have a small chatzer, we can't force you to divide it until you each get at least 4 amot. If it's less than that, you share it. Right? You just share it. Which makes sense, right? Meaning, think about how small that is. Right? Like, if you have a courtyard that's less than 4 amot, right, you put up a wall, that's going to be quite an imposition. So the Gemara says, the implication is, the implication is that if there is at least 8 amot, that we do divide it. So the Gemara says, my love, Bikotel, isn't the implication that we force you to divide it with a wall? So the Gemara says, "Lo, b'misipas ba'alma." Maybe we just tell you to divide it with the bare minimum of material, so that proves nothing about hezekria. So then the Gemara says, "Okay, tashma hachalo note." If you have windows, now what do windows look like in the time of the Gemara? What? Right, very good. Usually like this or like this, right? Like, you know, the old city when you go up on the wall, right? Like, there are windows, right? There's like, it'll be narrow at one point and then go out like this, or vice versa, depending on which direction you want the light to go in, right? Because you don't just want a hole. It is a hole, but not necessarily a square hole. It's a hole that will allow in light, but it's not, right, the same size in both directions, so it limits. But anyways, you have a chalon, bein milamala, bein milamata, bein mikenegdan, arba amot, right? Whether it is above or below, you need to make it 4 amot from the window so that you don't make it dark. Right? When you're building a wall in front of a window, you need to give space so light can come in. Okay? V'tani Allah, and in that context, right, the first halacha is not about hezekria. That's about you can't darken someone's house. Right? They made a window for light. You can't put a wall right in front of it. You need to give space for the light to get in. V'tani alam milimalon, but then the Gemara says, milimalon kedei shelo yatzitz v'yireh. We're also concerned. From above, we're worried that people won't be able to look in. Milimatan kedei shelo yamod v'yireh mikin negdan. We're worried from the below that they won't stand up and look in. Kedei shelo yafil. So the Gemara answers, so don't you see that we care, right? We're trying to avoid people seeing into your windows, right? And that's part of the law here. And what is the Gemara's answer? Again, Hezeka debayit shiny. The damage in the house is different. And again, I know I sound like a broken record, but again, what do you need to ask at this point? Yes, is it, everyone agrees Hezekri and a house is Hezek. The question is about chatzer, or is someone invading your privacy in your house of a different nature? And if you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't help you very much. What does Rashi say? Why is your house different? Rashi says, "She'adam ose beveito divrei hetzneya." In your house, you do things which are private. Now, let's stop for a second at Rashi. Let's assume that Rashi's right. Now what? What does it tell us about Hezekriah? If you think that that people invading your privacy in your house is Hezekria, then that tells you what is Hezekria? The invasion of privacy and the prevention of doing things which are of a private nature on a scale, right? If you think that it's not, you might say, look, the reason in a house you can't let someone invade your privacy is because, you know, someone peeping in when you're doing something private, that's a moral, theological failing, right? Maybe that's different than Hezekria, right? We don't know, right? Again, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. I just know what the problem is by the buy-in. I don't know what that tells me about everything else, yeah. Which one? Yeah. So the Gemara was just saying there is, oh, don't you see that you force them to build a wall? The Gemara's answer is no, you force them to build something. But maybe it's see-through, maybe it's minimal.
Aren't they obligated to build whatever wall is in the course of the construction?
Potentially, but the Gemara is saying, right, it's a case where there isn't a minhag, whatever the case may be, right? It is a little bit, but right, the Gemara is assuming that we can't prove otherwise. What is true? What is the case of Maskana is a different story, but you can't prove it.
Also, like the actual thing, like the reputation of the like how would the whole Dalma 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 thing
prove anything
to do with
It's not the Dalma Dalma Dalma. It's that the Gemara thought that once you choose to divide, you have to build a wall, which should show Hezek Riyish Mehezek. And the Gemara answers, no, maybe it doesn't mean you build a wall. It just means you build something. Okay. Tashma, one more. Again, the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Gag Asamuch L'chatzer. If you have, right, you're built on a hill. Like, if you ever come to my house, if ever you're allowed to come to my house, which God knows what this year will look like in a few months, right? But, like, I live on a mountain, right? So my neighbor's roof is exactly parallel to my backyard. Right? Because I'm just up the mountain, so that's just the way it is. So if you have a gag which is samuch tel chatzer, chatzer chaviro, osin lo ma'ake gavo arba amot, you have to make a wall around it. A fence. So the Gemara says, doesn't that prove hezek riyish mehezek? So the Gemara says, no. Shiny out them, da amr le bala chatzer, bala gag, lididi kviya li tashmishi, lididach lo kviya lach, tashmitcha. The person on the gag can say, look, the person on the chatzer says, he can say to the balagag, I use my yard more than you use your roof, but I'm not going to use my yard out of the fear that you might show up. Now, If that is hezek ri'iyah, is that hezek or is that miniyat hishtamshut? Meaning, at this stage, the Gemara says that a chatzer, the chatzer gog case, is definitely a case where you can force privacy, because otherwise it'll prevent me from using my courtyard as right to do what I need to do in my courtyard. Is that hezek? No, it's not hezek. Right, the Gemara is pretty clear. What is it? What they call miniyat hishtamshut is the problem is that you're preventing me from using my yard. But now, just like we've asked systematically throughout the Gemara, is this distinct from hezek ri'iya, or is this what hezek ri'iya is? This will cut to the question that all the Achronim want to know, which is hezek ri'iya actually hezek? Or is it a stand-in for saying there's a problem with creating a situation where people can't use your property? This, right? Right? This case, right? Guys, this case, the roof, chatzer case, the Gemara says explicitly that the problem is the prevention of usage. But the Gemara doesn't know yet whether this is hezek ri'iya. Yes, Adam. What?
Wouldn't you have to put a wall on the roof anyway because that's a separate
item? No, but
yeah, on the roof. But this is to separate it from the chatzer. It's a different story. One that would visually block.
I can't hear you,
Rabbi. We're talking about one that visually blocks. But an amake doesn't have to visually block. Okay, let us... They're touching. So the Gemara says, Lishna Achrina, Amri, now the Gemara flips it. Amri la savrua my mechitza plukta. Maybe mechitza really means a division. Dechtiv adim echtar aidav. It came to Ratzubon and Akotel, Baal Karchan. Alma hezek yeshmei hezek. Right? So now the Gemara says, if you think that mechitza means a division, which means that as long as you want to divide, you must build a wall, what would that teach us? Hezek Reishmei Hezek, this is just flipping the Gemara around. And the Gemara says, no, Ema my Mechitza Guda. Maybe not, maybe it's Guda, Ditnan, Mechitza Kerem Shnivritz Omer Lo Gudor, Nivritz Omer Lo Gudor, Nityayish Menem Lo Gadra, Eze Kidesh, Bechayiv Bechachra Yuta, Vatayim Deratzo, Lo Ratzo, In Bechayiv Yuta, Almazrik Lav Shmei Hezek, Iachi Bonar Kotel, Bonar Otomi Bailei, Elamai Plukta, Iachi Shratzalad Mechitza, Ratzalad Chatzom, Ibailei, Dam Reishi Tonavit Plukta. Right, now it just flips the whole Gemara, right? All the other cases, okay? Right, the Gemara just goes through all the cases that we did the first time and just flips them around. V'i hezek ri'iya shmei hezek ma'ir yaratzu. If you think hezek ri'iya is hezek, why does it matter what you want? Afilu lo ratzu nami. So Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnatenu kishein badin chaluka. Maybe we're talking about a field which is not big enough to be divided, and that's why it matters whether you want it. But you're right, any field that's big enough to be divided, you can always force division. If you hold hezek ri'iya shmei hezek, right? It's only in a very limited case where it's not so big, where it's seven amot, that we can't. V'hu deratzu, my kamash malan, what does this teach you? Dechi let badin chaluka ki ratzu pligi, tanina, ema zai bizman chein shneen rotzen, bizman chein rotzen, afil pachom mikan cholken, ime atam avimin afil pachom mikan b'mesibiz b'alma kamash malan. Okay, now the Gemara goes on a little bit in this direction, but in the end of the day, the Gemara is going to conclude that we paskin, like which daya? Hezek ri'iya? Shmei hezek. And therefore, the Gemara's conclusion is, which read of the Gemara, of the Mishnah do we accept? Is mechitza a wall or division? No, division. Division. That if you want to divide, we force it with a wall. Right? Meaning, it's not up to you whether to build the wall. It's up to you to decide whether you want to divide. The only case you have a choice not to do that is b'chatzer shein badin chaluka. But fundamentally, the Gemara comes to the maskana that we prefer the position that if you choose to divide, you must divide with a wall, from which we derive hezek ri'iya shmei hezek. So now, let me just throw this out and then I'll take your question, Ezra. That means, if we assume that hezek ri'iya shmei hezek u'maskana, so now, in all the cases that the Gemara brought in its first round, we need to ask that question over and over again. The cases where everybody agreed that it was Asr, is that Hezek Re'iyah or not? The Gina, the Bayit, the Chatzer and Gag. If we think that all those cases are Hezek Re'iyah where everyone agrees, then once Lamaskana, we Paskin Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, they will teach us something about Hezek Re'iyah. Is it Ayin Hara? Is it Hezek? Is it Miniyat Hashtam Shud? Right? All those things, right, will teach us something about Hezek Re'iyah. But if we think the Gemara's Maskana is those aren't Hezek Re'iyah, they're something else, then we now know that Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, but we need to figure out what is it? Because those other things are something else, and we'll have to define them by themselves, define Hezek Re'iyah by itself. Okay? That's where we are right now. Before we can answer those questions, we have to read at least two more Gemaras, right? But I'll let you have the source sheets now. I do want you to start with the two Gemaras, but if you want to start fleshing out, and right, so far we've done for 2 days is lay out the structure of the Gemara, the questions we need to answer, the gaps in the Gemara that require explanation. If you want to take the source sheets and start plugging in names who take stands on each of those, so you can start doing that. But I do think that you should look at the two Gemaras, Anun, Ted, and Samach, first. Okay? Hopefully, at least, though, we've read the Gemara very carefully, so the possibilities are clear. Right? What we need to define is clear. We haven't defined it yet. Right? You spend 2 days figuring out what we need to define. Okay, Ezra, you get the last word for today, I think. So he says, "Kid Amri Inchi Tan Navid Plukta," because some of them say, "Let's make a division." Right? He said that's just the way people talk. Sometimes they say, "Let's make a division." So okay, so to make a mechita could just mean let's make a division, right? I'll give you an example. Right? If you're in shul and someone says, "Oh, let's put up the mechita," then what do they mean? They mean a wall. When you have a street minion, which we've all had for months, right? And you started with a bunch of men, and then a few women come, and someone says, "Oh, let's make a mechitza." What do they often just mean? Move over a little bit. And why do they call it mechitza? Because normally in a shul we'd have a mechitza. Outside we don't have a mechitza, but it's just like. Yes, but that's what the Gemara says. Kid Amri Inchi, it's what people say.
I'm saying when you're using it as like when you say make a mechitza, that's because what you're doing is supposed to be like representative of the physical thing, right? Like when people say like make a mechitza, that is within the context of a mechitza normally being a wall.
Yeah, but my point is that it's not crazy that people talk about let's make a mechitza when they really mean is let's divide, right? You know, or if someone says, right? Imagine that there's a wall between you and me that's 6 feet, right? Right, when they say keep 2 meters, right? Imagine there's a wall between me and you, right? They don't mean that there was ever actually a wall or a havamina to have a wall. They just mean, right? Imagine that there's a wall so that you'll keep distance. Yeah. Imagine you have a bubble, right? Yeah. Right, imagine, right? I saw that that's what they did at Gush over Ben Azmanim, right? Right, the bubble soccer, right? It's corona-friendly sports, right? Put you in a bubble, and then you can ram into other people, right? A hermetically sealed bubble with an oxygen tank, right? You'd like to do this, Ezra?
I want a Rocket League in real life.
You want what?
Rocket League. It's like a video game where you play soccer with cars. So that would work, too, although I feel like there's some other problems with that.
Yes. Yes. All the sports we can do that are safe during Corona. It's like, you could do NASCAR, you know, you could do high speed racing in a car.
We're all safe.
Right. You might kill yourself from driving, but you won't die of Corona. What?
You'll look better on paper.
Exactly. Sure. Yes. Your limbs flying all over the place. Yeah. Very good. Okay, guys. Shkoyach.